Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, we hope we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. As for us, we are doing fine. Today's show, we're actually talking about the problem with conformity. Conformity is eroding the soul. And what I mean by conformity is eroding the soul, I'm talking about all of these different people that are, one, not being themselves, and two, aren't taking the challenges that come forth to them, that are being presented to them. They're not looking at things and coming up with a reasonable understanding of it. They're just accepting whatever's being thrown out to them. And, you know, there's an old saying that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Well, guess what? Conforming with a problem or conforming with something and not truly looking at it, not truly giving of yourself as you look at that particular opportunity, problem, event, anything that's going on in your life is making you part of the problem. You're not a solution. You know, when I used to run information systems contracts for the federal government and things along that nature, call centers, all of that, I always used to run into people that just did not want to truly take a stand on anything. They wanted someone else to come up with the answer so that if the answer was wrong, they could then blame that other person for the failure that occurred, not realizing that if any of us fail in the chain, all of us fail. Why? Because you're only as strong as your weakest link. So when you run into people that have that mindset that they're not going to make a decision, those are truly people that are trying to they're trying to find a way out. They're trying to find the scapegoats for what's going on. And there are also people that will experience success, but I can't, in my mind, see how they feel as though they've had any success in what's going on. And the reason that I say that is because they didn't really take an active role in making whatever it was be a success. All they did was act like drones. All they did was follow the instructions that someone else gave, and then a lot of times most people are half-heartedly following those instructions. So if life is truly about having fulfillment, if it's truly about succeeding, then that means you have to be an active participant in your life. You need to be an active participant in your success. So that conformity is really not helping you, okay? It's not helping you because you're not actually having an active role in your success. You're basically being like a drone. You're being like a zombie. You know, I did a show not too long ago, and a lady talked about, are you ready for the zombie apocalypse? Well, in a funny kind of way, we're in the middle of the zombie apocalypse now. Everybody wants to be part of a particular party. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to go with what everybody else is doing. And the bad part is that most people don't even really seem to care if what they're choosing is right or wrong. Well, if you don't care if what you're choosing is right or wrong, then how could it possibly be right? How could it possibly be something that's going to help you and going to help you to grow, to mature, to develop, or anything like that if you're just following the status quo, all right? You know, I remember when I was younger, you know, all of the girls wanted to go out with the basketball players or the football players or the soccer team guys or what have you. And then the girls that really liked the masculine body, they went out for, like, the gymnast guys that, you know, had the really nice bodies. But then you go fast forward 20 years, and the guy that was the basketball star, not in all cases, is now your trash man. You know, the guy that was the kid that had the nice car, you know, you wouldn't even, you look at him and go back and go, wow, I dated him, or wow, I dated her, if it's the girl that was the hottest girl. Why? Because these people, they fit a certain mold. However, the mold that they fit wasn't even their mold. Most of them weren't original. Most of them weren't individuals or individuals in the mind. They were just people that were in a position, and then they acted the role to some extent of that position. You know, you talk to different people, and they'll tell you that there's different levels of leadership, and they're true. Like John Maxwell, he talks about, you know, the first level of leadership is positional leadership. You know, then from there you have to get people to buy into what you're trying to lead them into. And then once you've got people that are willing to follow your leadership, you know, you've moved to the next level of leadership. And it goes on and on and on and on. But the whole thing is growing and developing and becoming the best individual you can be. There's too many people out there that want to be the carbon copy of somebody else. Well, guess what? There's no way that you or I can be the carbon copy of anybody else because, again, like I said in show one, you and I are like individual snowflakes. No one will ever be the same. No two will ever be the same. Once you've created one, you are unique. You're unique in every way. You are unique in more ways than anybody can ever say. And the reason is because your DNA is different. Even though you may have come from the same parents, if you're siblings, your DNA is different. Your personality is different. The outside frame, or the outside shell, as some people call it, is just that. It's an outside shell. It doesn't really mean anything. It's the physical you. You know, I was listening to Darren Hardy. And he is actually the publisher of Success Magazine. And he had a gentleman on there by the name of Stevens. And this guy, when he was growing up, you know, first off, the gentleman that we're talking about, I can't think of his last name, but his first name was Stevens, he's only grown to 4 feet tall. I mean, 3 feet tall. The man is 3 feet tall. He's in a wheelchair. But as I was saying on the show that I did, this gentleman has an unbelievable personality. You know, the container or the shell that holds him is nothing in compared to the spirit that resides within that shell, within that container. And the guy is bigger than all outdoors. You know, he's married, he's got a happy family, all of that stuff. But this is a kid that was born with a bone defect. And that bone defect caused it to where he could be walking and a bone would break. You know, he could be doing the simplest thing and one of his bones would break. You know, he's had over 200 bone breaks in his lifetime. And again, he's only 4 feet tall. And all of these other things that would be huge problems for most of us are not huge problems for him. He sees his small container as an awesome container holding an even more awesome spirit. And he lives that every day. So I'm constantly talking to people about how can you complain about what's going wrong in your life or what you perceive is going wrong in your life when there's people out there that have lived a life that make your life seem like, you know, the ultimate blessing, the ultimate gift from God. You know, you've got people out there who have dealt with things in their existence on this planet that make what some of us complain about seem so really sad that it's almost unbelievable. So conformity is eroding the souls of most people. You know, I talked with a gentleman that I worked with in another company that I left, you know, more than a year ago. And, you know, the person was telling me that since I've left, not saying that I had anything to do with it, but since I've left, the company is starting to implode. You know, they're starting to have issues. A lot of those issues, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, and we're not going to name the company, is because they had people in leadership roles that shouldn't have been in leadership roles. They had people dealing with people that shouldn't be dealing with people. You know, they, even though the company, and most companies do, they talk about the fact that, you know, the employee is the number one asset of the company. You've got people in there that may be touting that from their mouths, but they're not showing that in their actions. And people see if you're legitimate, if you're real. You know, again, you can only fake it till you make it so long. And most people that fake it don't make it. If it's not in your heart, if it's not in your soul, people just, they see it. It's just a matter of time, you know. And it's not that this was a bad company or is a bad company. It's a good company. However, some of the people in strategic positions just shouldn't be there. And some of them go as far as vice president level. You know, they shouldn't be there. They're not people that need to interact with people. You know, in the technology world, we have something called a closet programmer. And a closet programmer isn't a bad person. It isn't a stupid person. But it's a person that should not be involved with other people. They do their best work alone. They do their best work in a little room with whatever their task is. They can crank out stuff that is unbelievable. You know, as far as it being technologically sound, as far as it being practical, as far as it being useful. But if you take that same personality and you put that personality with another, with other people, it becomes toxic. Why? Because these people don't know how to communicate with other people. And then you have people that live in the life of or the world of denial. So we need to realize that we all have our strengths. Trying to conform with somebody else is not easy because it's not you. Trying to be somebody else is not you. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to make this a little technical. And the reason I'm going to make it a little technical is because I want everybody to get an understanding of the brain. Now, I am no neurologist or nuclear physicist or psychologist or any of that stuff. So what I'm saying is my point of view based on the things that I've studied, the things that I've read about, the things that I've looked into, and looking at it in the sense that I know that I am constantly growing, developing, and evolving. And I hope that all of you know the same thing. No matter how many degrees you have, no matter how much money you have, no matter how many people you supervise, or no matter what it is that you do. Our lives as a whole are basically like a stage. And if you look at the mind operates pretty much, I'm going to use this as an analogy, on a stage mentality. In a play, if you're presenting a play, you have certain scenery that's up. You have certain actors that are on the stage. And you also have people that are good at certain things. Okay? If you are doing a night scene and your background is daytime, is that congruent with what's going on in the scene? All right? If it's supposed to be a night scene and you've got a date scene in the background, but everybody's acting like it's night, is that congruent? No, that's incongruent. Why? Well, it's mainly incongruent because even though the actors are acting a night scene, everybody can see that it's not applicable. All right, they're two different things. Plus that, remember, too, that visual is a lot more, it stays with you a lot more than actually the words. So if you've got a visual presentation of something, that visual presentation is easier for the mind or the brain to process. And we're going to talk about two parts of the brain that actually have to deal with this. The two parts of the brain that we're going to talk about are the prefrontal lobe. And the prefrontal lobe is very, very intricate part of our mental ability to conceptualize and see and filter information. The other part that we're going to talk about is actually the basal ganglia. The basal ganglia is a more developed part of the brain, and it's also key in helping us remember things that are a little bit more long-term, a little bit more thought-inducing, all right? However, understand that the prefrontal lobe is kind of like the first part of the stage. It's the first part of the stage of what's going on in your life. Without it, you couldn't remember to get milk if you had to get milk later in the day. You couldn't remember what happened to you later on in the day if you had something that happened. Pretty much, the prefrontal lobe is kind of like the organizer of the different characters that are coming up on your stage. Okay? It doesn't have a whole lot of long-term memory, but it has a lot of help in how we function and how we do things in our day-to-day lives, in our day-to-day worlds. And if there's anybody that would like to call in and challenge anything that I'm saying, please feel free. because, again, I'm not saying that I'm an expert on this, but what I'd like you to do is listen to what I'm saying and then take that information and see if it's applicable to you. Now, when I talk about the mind, I'm talking about how we interact with people, how we use the mind, and how we learn. Some people are morning people. Morning people usually function better in the morning, all right? So what should you be doing if you're a morning person? You should be doing the things that are mind-rich or that the mind needs to put the most energy on to produce as much as you can during those times. But you also need to give the brain little breaks in between so that the brain can effectively analyze and look at the things that are coming out of it. Some people are evening people. Evening people need to do what they do when they do it. So, you know, there was an old saying, a lady by the name of Gail Cohen, I was talking to her one day. She's a national speaker. And Gail Cohen was talking about the fact that men are like syrup. No, excuse me, men are like waffle squares and women are like syrup. And the point of this particular analogy is that when a man is in a certain waffle square, then he's in that waffle square. If he's thinking about something that has to do with his accounting at his job or money or some other task, and his wife calls him up and says, hey, I need you to pick up milk, he'll say yeah. He'll say okay. He'll tell you that he's going to take care of it. But depending on where it happened and where he was in his waffle square, 99% of the time, that man is going to show up without any milk. He's going to show up without any bread. Why? Because he was in the waffle square of the task that was on his mind. And when you called him and brought in that other variable, he heard you, he understood you, and he meant to do whatever it is that you were asking him to do. However, it didn't really filter through because he was in that waffle square, to where women are more multitaskers in the sense that they have an ability in most cases to handle multiple things that have been put onto their stage. And again, this doesn't apply for everybody, but this is just a generalization that applies in quite a few cases. So since a woman is like syrup, if you spread her over the waffle, she's going to fill more than one square. As in, if you say something, you may be talking to your husband about this, 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 and this, and somebody else or your husband may mention something in the conversation, and that will spark the memory of four or three or two other things that you need to do because you've linked them together. So that's what I mean about women are like syrup and men are like waffle squares. Now, mind you, both traits are very admirable. Why? Because when women have a tendency to be in all these different spaces at once, you know, that also becomes a disadvantage sometimes. Where men can sometimes laser focus on a task, that's really good at times. Why? Because they can get things done, because they're not pulled away by the other stimuli that may be going on. And also, it's the disadvantage in the sense of if you do tell them something multitask, if their mind is on that one particular thing, a lot of times it goes back to that thing. It stays on that thing. And it doesn't erase that thing, but it moves it so back far into the memory that they don't remember it. So it's almost like the wife or the significant other or whoever was sharing that information with them didn't share anything. But back to what we were talking about, conformity erodes the soul. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're dealing with an individual, you have to understand that that's exactly what you're doing. You're dealing with an individual. Different individuals have different ways of learning, different ways of interpreting information, and different ways of handling certain things. You cannot expect someone to grasp information like you grasp information. You can't expect their filters to decipher the information like your filters decipher the information. So when I talk about conformity and I'm talking about being an original individual, you can't expect another person to be you. You can't expect another person to conform to the way you did it, your last friend did it, your supervisor did it, your wife, husband, girlfriend, significant other, guy on television, woman on television, person that you read about in your book or story. You can't expect the same thing out of them. So you can't lump them into the experiences that you have, fake or real. You use the experiences that you've had, fake or real, to evaluate things, but then you need to reevaluate what you evaluated and also understand that each and every one of us comes with luggage. And sometimes that luggage is that conformity. You're so used to one thing being a certain way. Also, again, ladies and gentlemen, each of us can only be the individual. We can't be anybody else. You know, who was it? Robert Butte. He said that, "I am told to just be myself, but as much as I have practiced the impression, I am still no good at it." Being yourself should be the easiest thing that you can do. But again, we all have so many different stimuluses of conformity, of acceptability, all of that. You know, myself, I'm in a motorcycle club. Well, guess what? Most times I try to conform with what the club wants to do. However, sometimes the individuals in the club take that to a level which I'm not comfortable with. They take that to a level where I am not going to conform. Perfect example, I'm part of a club. A club is a voluntary organization, okay? The club did not pay my insurance. They did not pay for my motorcycle. They did not pay for my gas. If the club is going someplace, then it is my choice, my decision to go and to participate in that event. Also, remember, too, when you're part of an organization, that organization is as good as its members. So if the members in the organization are not supporting you and you're not supporting them, then maybe you need to relook at the organization in which you're with and see if it's a good fit. All right? That conforming just for the fact that you belong to that club is unacceptable. This isn't the military. This isn't law enforcement. And this isn't life, you know, life or limb is at risk. This is a group or a social organization that you belong to. You know, it takes courage to grow up and to become who you really are. And that's something we need to keep in mind. All of us need to have strength and courage to understand that part of growing up is part of you developing and becoming your true you, not you being a clone of someone else, not you doing something because it's going to make somebody else happy, not you doing something because some particular group has pushed you that way. That's why they, you know, they say that cults are bad. They say that cults are bad because a lot of times they're not thinking of the individual. They're thinking of, they are thinking of the individual. They want you to think that they're thinking of the whole, but they're not thinking of the whole. They're thinking of the individual in sense of the leader and the people that are in the leader's hierarchy that want to continue to maintain control. So that's one of the reasons I'm not into cults. All right? Almost every man wastes part of his life in the attempt to display qualities which he does not possess and to give applause which he cannot keep. All right, that was by Samuel Johnson. And what that means is that you're taking credit for something that really doesn't belong to you. You know, you're playing this game, but you're really not in the game. You're just playing a part. You don't have the qualities. You're not, you know, some people just aren't leaders. They aren't leaders because they refuse to do what's necessary to truly become a leader. They're not leaders because they don't lead by example. They're not leaders in the sense of being a real leader because they haven't earned the respect of the people that they want to lead. They don't talk the talk and walk the walk, all right? They may talk the talk, but what they display is totally different. Or they may try to portray themselves as somebody that they are not, which is, of course, going to cause animosity. Why? Because the people that don't like them in the meantime are going to be pushing out the things that are unacceptable over the things that are. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to conform with something, conform because it's part of you, and conform because it's also for the good of the whole. If something isn't good for the whole, then probably you shouldn't conform to it. And when I say good for the whole, I mean good for the whole in the sense of everybody's going to be developing from this. Everybody's going to be growing from this. Everybody's going to be learning from this. This is an experience that's a valuable experience that is being extended out to everyone, and everybody is going to benefit from these experiences, from these different things that are going on. We've got too many people that want to conform because they want to impress somebody. We've got too many people that want to conform because they want to win some prize. Well, guess what? You are already in possession of the greatest prize that you, as a human being, a living human being, can ever be a part of. That is life. You've already been granted this huge and marvelous, magnificent gift, and that's the gift of life. And every day you have the power in yourself to control what happens and what doesn't happen. If you care, first you have to care about you. And then as you care about you, you'll start to be able to properly be able to care about other people. I'm not saying be selfish. I'm not saying be one-sided. What I'm saying is understand that if you don't like you, then you can't truly like anybody else. If you're not looking for your own betterment, you're not going to look for anybody else's. And it's amazing how I run into people every single day that are constantly, including myself, I have to guard my mind. I have to guard my actions. Constantly self-sabotaging what goes on, okay? Being messy, that's self-sacrifice. That's not something that serves you, okay? That's not something that serves you, all right? Not being organized, that's not something that serves you, all right? Eating too much, that's not something that serves you. Not educating your mind, that's something that doesn't serve you. Sitting in front of a television watching someone else live their lives, that doesn't serve you, nor does it serve your wife, your kids, your significant other, your husband. It doesn't serve any of them. Coming home and reading a book when you should be, and that has nothing to do with helping you move your life on, is not going to help you in living the type of life you say you want to live. Again, we need to embody things and make our conformity things that help us instead of things that hinder us, things that help us grow and develop instead of things that drain us and just waste our time. You know, I had a lady very recently that I really like. She sent me a email, and in the email she said that, hey, I'm really not into social media. Because all it is the water cooler talk of the 60s. And I told her, I was like, you know, that's true and that's not true. It depends on what's going on at the water cooler. So what I said to her was, okay, fine. If you have a water cooler conversation with people of strong mind, strong character, and people that are looking to grow, and you put that in front of a school, what does that become? That becomes a college or a university where you're broadening your mind and growing yourself and developing. If you take that same mindset and you put it in a dojo or a martial arts school, you know, why do people send their kids to martial arts schools? Because they want them to have discipline. Some of them just want a daycare, but they want their kids to have discipline. They want them to have physical activity, all of those different things. So they put their kids into a martial arts program. Well, guess what? You've got what we call McDojos, which is kind of like a McDonald's, you know, have it your way, and they give you all, it's the same burger, everything, they're following a plan, all of that stuff, but they're not really teaching your child how to defend themselves. They may be giving them some character building stuff, but they're also giving them a false sense of security, you know, that you can have, you know, a 10-year-old black belt. I just don't see it. I can't see a 10-year-old beating the bejeebies out of a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old. I just don't see it. Do they have more energy? Yes. But do they have the strength, the coordination that they need to be able to do that? No. Do they have the heart? No. Do they have the temperament? No. So since they don't have those things, they are at a disadvantage. But you've got this kid that thinks because he's a 10-year-old black belt that they can kick everybody's butt, and they really can't. And when they run into a kid that has the mental bring thing down, they end up getting their feelings hurt. So now, if you have a martial arts school where they do teach traditional martial arts, they do teach character, they do teach physical stuff, they're not just giving the kid a belt because in the contract it says in 2 years you will have this rank, then what are they doing? They're building that child or that person's moral character, physical character. They're helping that person to develop and grow. So it's the same thing with social media. If you associate in bad places in social media, it's the same thing as if you associate in bad things anywhere you go. All social media is a tool. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, today's show was about us becoming better people. So, many care, one loses when one decides not to be something, be someone. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Zurian. I want to thank you for listening. I want everybody to have a great day. And again, if you like the show, please follow the show in the upper left-hand corner. Click follow, and you'll get updates on more shows that are coming out. Until then, take care. Have a blessed life. This is Zurian. Take care and be well.